The idea, again, is that the fit between genes and the features that genes encode is not exactly one-to-one in human genetics. It's more complicated, and that's what we're trying to wrestle with. That's what we're trying to figure out, and we will figure out most of it in the future.
Siddhartha Mukherjee, and over the next few weeks on Inside Science, you can hear from the other authors on the Royal Society shortlist. That is it for this week, and I'm off on holiday. You'll be in the more than capable hands of Gareth Mitchell for a few weeks, and I'll see you in September.
Inside Science was presented by Adam Rutherford and produced by Adrian Washbourne in association with the Open University. And you can explore science activities and topics featured in the programmes by going to the Radio 4 website, search for BBC Inside Science and follow the links to the Open University. Since 1904, West Ham Football Club has occupied the bowling ground in Upton Park. But this is its final season, and in a moment, Alan Dean chronicles the life of the streets that surround it on match day. First, though, we'll find out what's on the agenda for the world tonight from Razia Iqbal.
Thanks, Jim. Tonight, the last doctors in the Syrian city of Aleppo have written a heartfelt letter to President Obama. They say we don't need tears or sympathy or prayers. We need action. We'll discuss what, if anything, the US can do. Also, we talk to someone who's worked with and knows the new chair of the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse, a job described as a poison chalice or worse, a lethal injection. And the story of a couple who were too sad and lonely to cook for themselves. Do join me in half an hour.
Thanks, Razia. After 112 years, West Ham Football Club said farewell to the bowling ground, their historic East End home, which has encompassed the lives of generations of fans and players. Well, for Radio 4's Lives in a Landscape, Alan Dean walked the streets and heard the voices on match day as the Claret and Blue faithful prepared to say goodbye to bowling.
That's amazing, isn't it? That sound, it's almost like, you know, it's the end.
Early Saturday morning in Green Street, match day. There aren't many of them left. My cousin Jeremy has brought me to a place that's been part of his life since, well, forever. He's not the only one.
There's a guy just in front of us now taking pictures with a little boy who can't be more than five. It's great that he's bringing his son. He's obviously, you know, a big Hammers fan.
You all right? How's it feel standing here?
Yeah, before they close the stadium. Sad, eh?
Yep.
The area that I grew up has totally changed. You know, I don't hardly recognise it anymore. So, lucky thing, they're not going too far. Stratford is still this area. Stratford is just as much as East London as Upton Park is.
It's not the same though, is it?
It's not the same, no, of course.
So where are you now?
I live in Kent now.
So where did you grow up?
Canning Town, Plasto. Everyone was West Ham. Not many left. Not round here. Everyone's gone. Yeah, everyone's gone.
On the corner of the sprawling site that is the bowling ground, rebuilt, bombed, added to, upgraded, is Our Lady of Compassion Catholic Church. It was a church, in fact, that first leased and then sold the land to West Ham United Football Club, who had moved here in 1904. Today the service brings the first worshippers to Green Street. Before the football fans arrive, stallholders like Bruce Pandey were already unpacking their wares.
We've got a whole range of official scarves here. We are not allowed to sell what we used to call schneid or moody gear.
This must be one of your latest additions.
Farewell to the bowling ground. Of course, it's the West Ham's very last season. From 1904 to 2016, they've been on this same site and been seen by millions. This scarf, with a picture of the ground, Upton Park either side of it, history, pride and passion. It's the docks that started, the Royals, the Victoria and Albert, the George, the KG5. This area blossomed. The very name, the Irons, come from the Thames Ironworks. And going back further to the Tudor period, of course, the Boleyn Ground, Anne Boleyn, the second wife of Henry VIII, famously losing her head. So the history of this area goes into the Tudor period.
Directly opposite the church, a front garden with a stall laden with a feast of colourful sweets.
Hello.
Inside the terraced house, a place of peace and contemplation.
We've got the Blessed Sacrament here in our front room. People come in for help, their difficulties, their joys, their sorrows. They come to give thanks and then we take them to Jesus. We pray with them. I'm Sister Immaculata, and together with me there is Sister Patricia. We've been in this area for the past, I would say, 16 years. Called here to serve the people of the East End, really. I would sum these people up as salt of the earth, light of the world.
And with so many immigrants coming in, the East Europeans, we have a very large Filipino congregation, Ghanaian, Nigerian,
Kerala
from India, very
Sri Lankans. We have the world here.
Yes, yes.
At the back of the stadium is one of many post-war housing estates. Residents get their shopping done before the invasion of 35,000 fans.
Mr. Gordon, Clive A. Gordon.
And your family originally from Jamaica?
Yes, sir. Yeah, please, yeah. We are doing a match here. I watch movies and play music. Keep out the way. I'm sorry. It's very noisy inside here. And tipping on the ground. So it's good for them to go to Stratford, you know. It's good for them to go to Stratford, you know. Then we didn't drink the liquor and then go on and wear there. It's too much of it. Too much of it. They must know how to drink responsibility. And a grown man, if you go to a match day, you cheer and chant, yes, in the stadium. But once you come on the government street, keep quiet. Come on. This is Great Britain. You stay there. So, yeah. I'm sorry it has to go. I'm sorry it has to go. Go to Stratford, yes, but it will be a paradise, yeah? You know that, yeah, Jerry? All right, I'm coming to you.
Part of our fear was that we were not quite sure of what West Ham would do for us because our house being so near the West Ham Stadium. We asked our parish priest, how would these West Ham people treat these two nuns coming here? And with a big smile, he said, you would be most welcome. And West Ham indeed has been part of our life. I can't imagine Green Street without West Ham. I bet you didn't expect to hear what you're hearing now.
You know, that's the beauty of making these kind of programmes. Mm. And there's the beauty of actually talking to people, because you don't know what to expect. For me, the best thing is to be open to hear what people have to say.
Yes.
And you must get that all the time. You don't know who's going to knock on your door and who you're going to be talking to within the community.
And that's life for us.
Yeah. So what do you think of West Ham moving?
Tell you some quiet.
Were you ever a fan?
I lost my wife and kids over West Ham, mate. I've done 10 seasons home and away. Don't ask me if I supported West Ham. Now I couldn't give you tuppence for them. It's not football no more. It's a business. I supported them when it was football. Everywhere you went in them days, it was trouble, there was fights, and you only had to come out of the station and they was there waiting for you. When I was that age, I didn't mind a scrap. But now, I couldn't knock the skin off of rice pudding. And now we've got about 5 years of building work.
But who for?
Whoever can afford them. That ain't for the EastEnders. They're for foreigners who's got plenty of money. I've got to go now. My tongue's hanging there. I'm going to have a pint in the club. Okay, cheerio.
All the best
gentlemen.
To you. Cheerio.
Standing here looking at it, it's going to be a shame to see it go, to be honest. I think I'm sort of starting to miss it already, even though it's still there. But at the same token, it will be good in that everyone knows Britain needs more homes. Hello, my name's Asif Yassin. I'm from Elliot Davis Properties. We're based on Green Street opposite the West Ham Football Ground. Me and my brothers are first generation born here from our family, so we consider ourselves more British than Pakistani, really. Most of the properties around here are standard built 3-bedroom and 4-bedroom houses. Some of them are built into flats. Behind the football ground, you've got ex-local authority places as well.
This area most probably has not seen the like of a development like this for a long time.
Not local around here. Obviously, Stratford has seen a massive redevelopment, but Upton Park itself has remained relatively untouched over the years. And with this football ground coming down and with the new flats going up, it is going to be monumental. It's going to change the face of Green Street. They're looking to build flats on the site, so there's not going to be any real family houses or anything per se. And with that, You will get quite a lot of people that are local that will buy them, but I think a lot of it will predominantly go to more than likely foreign investors.
For US Heath, in a way, you're at the right time and in the right place.
It looks like it at the moment. What the future holds is different.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's not a problem.
Over land and sea, today's issue. Come and get your fanzine now. Today's Oles.
Cheers, Gary. Free, right?
Yes, mate. Help yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Over land and sea, today's issue. Come and get your fanzine. Today's Oles.
On the Barking Road, down from the statue of West Ham's legendary players from the 1966 World Cup winning team, Hurst, Peters and Moore, is another icon, Nathan's Pie and Mash, where Brenda has been serving Hungry Hammers for 40 years.
You're putting out the vinegar.
Well,
Nathan's looks spick and span.
When we open at 11 o'clock, I mean, you stand a chance of having customers. I mean, that's part of their tradition, to come in and have pie and mash before the game. This is why when they go to Stratford, what they're going to do.
It's a family business that Richard Nathan now presides over.
We've been here since 7:30 this morning, making all the pies. Hundreds, hundreds. We're still going. We finish about 11 o'clock, just as we open. I mean, there is a lot of history. It managed to survive through the Second World War, and various family members kept it going. It was open for 2 or 3 days a week, and it's just kept going through thick and thin. You know, 80-odd years, established 1927.
The clock is ticking.
Things change, as they say, and it is what it is.
My father was born in 1919. He was brought up about 200, 300 yards from the ground. So it was an all-consuming part of his character, being a Hammers fan. I've certainly inherited, and then my children have inherited, this inseparable bond with what we're looking at now, with this rundown, ramshackle, dilapidated, old-fashioned, out-of-date stadium, which has the most incredible, charismatic personality of its own. And no one, of course, then would ever believe that Upton Park would disappear off the face of the earth.
West Ham fan since 1946.
See you later.
See you later. First game here, my uncle brought me, he was still in an army unit, all out of the war. My great-grandma lived up in 6th Avenue near Manor Park. We'd been over there to see her, and we was walking down what I now know as Priory Road, and the noise, I said, what's in there? West Ham United football, can I see? Went to a gate, which was wide open. There was a bloke there, and yeah, went up to the bloke, don't know money off a soldier. I don't remember who they were playing or nothing, because they said, take him in, hand him down over the top of the men, and they put him down the front where he could see. But I'm then surrounded by giants, and where's my uncle? That's all I could think about. I've been here on and off ever since. The Queen's Pub used to be on the corner, and you buy a bag of peanuts out there in a brown paper bag, which in shells, for a shilling. And in the chicken run, it used to be like, you know,
the crunch
like,
well, of
yeah,
shells.
Like a gravel drive, yeah. It's all mad, really, but this is football, isn't it? Anyway, I'll have to let you go here.
I think that's the thing about Upton Park closing down. It's got very little to do with what goes on the pitch, actually. I mean, it's got much more to do with the story of your life. A lot of people who grew up, you know, coming to this ground have moved on in life, have progressed in life, and yet, you know, they still keep coming back here because this is part of the fabric of their beginnings and represents consistency and hope and expectation. So I think that's why people love this ground so much, that it's just been here forever. And when it's gone, it's going to make a lot of people feel unstable and insecure. You know, it was here when I was a child, it was here when I was a toddler, it was here when I was a teenager, it was here when I got married, when I had my children. You know, it's been here my whole life.
Next in, please, no waiting.
442 Green Street, once the cramped home of David Gold, now one of the three owners of West Ham Football Club.
Sometimes he comes in and he shows people, he said, don't worry, I'm just showing, this is where I used to live. But normally he comes here every year.
Can I ask you what the shop is called?
CJ's Hair Studio.
And C is for Cynthia?
Yeah.
How long have you had the hair studio for?
11 years. I travel from SS to this place to work.
And who are your customers? Where do they come from?
All over.
What are your specialities?
I do hair, beauty, nails, everything. The European, Caribbean, everything.
So what happens to you on match day? What happens here?
Nil. You can see, it's nil.
So
empty.
It's West Ham 1, Cynthia 0.
Cynthia 0.
You've got nice big windows. You can see the world go by.
Yeah.
But you can't quite hear it, can you? You're
no,
sort of
no,
cut
no.
off.
No.
But seeing the people walk by and with their scarves.
I'll miss them because it's my team. But in business, we have to think about what to eat.
So these people, are they waiting to have their hair
have
done?
Have their hair done, yeah.
So are they waiting for you?
Yeah, me.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry about that.
Do you like onions in a hot dog? Onions? No? Here you go, darling. All the ketchup and the sauce is all over, all right?
My name's Alex.
And my name's H.
So where the family originally from?
Northern Cyprus. Fourth generation there.
So you wouldn't thought of doing sort of Turkish Cypriot style cuisine on Green Street?
On Green Street.
It wouldn't work.
No.
You need street food.
Football food, they call it.
Football food, yeah.
Beer and a burger. But an hour before the game, once the beer's soaked in and they start coming out of the pubs, making their way to the grounds, then, yeah.
And it's just two of you?
When you've been doing it for 20 years, it's a walk in the park, really. 50 burgers, 5 minutes.
Easy.
Easy.
So what is it about you two as a team?
We're cousins. We're family.
To see these men walking with big, you know, burgers in their hand, biting into them and enjoying it. And then we are surrounded by stalls. We've got any number of burger stalls around us. There's one in Father's driveway, another burger stall in the church car park. You can just smell onions and fat. And we've got a sweet stall in our front patio. They call out, who wants 2 bags for a pound? Any two for a pound, any two for a pound.
Yes, sir. Oh, I doubled my single mash 3 times.
Always worth the queue.
What you mate? Always
worth the wait.
Might be 30 or 40 minutes, but you never come out, you know, disappointed. There you go, cheers.
So could you imagine what life's going to be like at the new stadium?
It'd be different. I won't say better. We're going to miss Nathan's. Hopefully they're going to open a branch in Stratford. See you later.
What are you having?
Double trouble? Double pie, double mash and gravy.
How long have you been coming here for?
About 20 minutes, early. On and off, a long time. Long time, on and off. Cheers, mate. Part of the ritual. Just enough time to get 8 pints in.
Cheers.
Thanks, Brent.
Hello.
Not bad, you?
Pie, mash and liquor. And a small tea.
1, 2, 3.
See you later, ladies. Thank you.
The next station is Upton Park.
We're in church. There are West Ham fans who drop in, obviously to say a little prayer before they go out. And on one occasion, we were on the underground coming, and a whole row of them knelt in front of us. Sister, do you think you could pray for us? And I thought, what has hit us now? Sisters. Knelt.
The majority of fans that pour out of Upton Park Tube miss the sequined blaze of sari shops that stretch in the other direction. But they can't avoid the cascade of fresh produce from around the globe that is Queen's Market. Few of the stallholders go to matches these days, but I was directed towards...
Friendly! Come down here.
Hey, are you Brendan? Hello, mate. Hi. Hi.
My granddad has been down here for 38 years.
So you're part of the fabric of the area.
Yeah.
This market, Queen's Market, goes back over 100 years.
Yes.
As does West Ham Football Ground.
Yes.
You're staying, they're going.
Exactly, yeah. It's going to kill this community. The pubs, the restaurants, our business. It's going to lose trade. You know it's going to lose trade. I've been doing this since I was 14. I don't know any better, so I don't know anything else, so this is all I know.
So your colleagues don't mind you nipping off to the game?
Well, we've got family, innit, so it's fine. I leave here at 2:30.
So you haven't got far to go?
No, 100 yards, that's all it is.
few girls coming in.
You don't have to be shy. I'm here. I will look after you. Boys and girls, come on, come on, come on. The lady want to go home.
Any spare tickets? I'll buy
yours. Overland FC, today's issue.
Any spare tickets?
I'll buy yours. Please, mate.
You've been buying it for 26 years. You know how much it is by now.
There's a skinhead up a ladder, but don't let Gary Firmage's appearance put you off from talking to the seer of Green Street.
And the reason I'm on a ladder is because I can raise my voice above everyone and I can see people coming down waving their money at me.
What are you selling today?
Overland and Sea, the West Ham fanzine. I started it off in 1989 when there was a plethora of fanzines then that took over matchday publishing really around the globe. And at West Ham we had in the region of 10. You know, I looked around at the time and I thought, well, these are all good, but I can do better. 26 years later, this is the last season that I'll be doing it.
What's that like for you, that kind of image of match day, as more and more people come from the station? You're on the ladder, you've got a slightly better view than most people.
I'm a showman. This is my theatre. You know, I've probably told the same jokes over and over again over the last 26 years, but they still laugh at them because there's different people coming down the road. I love the crowd. That's my buzz. That's my theatre. When I retire at the end of the season, that's the thing I'll miss more than what goes on in the football field.
When you say retire, you're still a young man. Why are you going to retire?
Because I've gone off in a different direction now. I haven't missed a game at Upton Park since 1980. And that has taken up a big chunk of my life. In recent times, I've become one of the biggest reggae DJs in the country. That's given me a new impetus in life. And I've got to the stage now where I've been offered a world tour next year. To do that means I'd have to break my record of coming to every home game. However, the main reason is that they're going to the Olympic Stadium. And I'm an old dinosaur, and this is where I belong. And I wish everyone well that goes on, but I'm not going on with them. My heart will be with them. You know, West Ham nowadays, it's a totally different environment. And I don't know, when the club gets knocked down and they build houses, that's probably more important for the people living around here than having West Ham come here on a match day. OK, the little shops and the food outlets and all that, I mean, they're going to take a kick in. It's like the pie and mash shop and things like that, you know, that 50% of their takings over the year at least is down to the football matches. Them I feel sorry for and all that. But predominantly, I do honestly believe that the locals will be happier when we're gone. When we don't come in en masse and carve up their roads on a match day.
But do you think all these fans you're seeing now coming into the ground about an hour before kick-off, do you think they realise what is going to happen to their club when they move somewhere else?
I offer no disrespect to West Ham fans, but I think football fans in general on a match day are focused on one thing. I don't think they're looking at the environment. I don't think they're looking at the future. They're looking at what's going to happen in 90 minutes they're in that football ground. And on the way home, they discuss that. And again, they won't be thinking about what's happening in 6 months' time. They'll be thinking about what's happened over the last 90 minutes.
But isn't it also part of the game, the sights, the smells? You've just even seen these terraced houses on one side, the market, Queen's Market.
It is to me, and it is to the dinosaur fan like me. I can tell you every colour of every house in this street, and I've stood here for so long now, and I'm looking up and I'm looking down. And when I see the pavements packed on both sides, spilling onto the roads, where the traffic has to slow to go around them, and the sense of unity is one, like one claret blue wave coming at you from every angle and all that, you know? A tribe? You could say a tribe. Tribe football is tribal, isn't it?
But of course, the big difference is...
I would say it's a congregation. And, you know, this is our church. You know? It's going to be really tough. I'm counting down the games every time I come to another game now. I sort of take more deep breaths every time I leave because I know that my time here is running out. But that's through choice, you know?
Come and get your fanzine now. Yeah.
Hello, sir.
Oh, mate, I'll have one of those. Thank you.
Good. Lovely, thank you very much. You give me too much money, I don't want to take too much off you.
Well, I'm trying to bribe you in and not retiring.
Pleasure.
Hey, sir.
There I am. Programme, please.
Now, these are fanzines, sweetheart.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. I'm set like a jelly man.
You know, there's a very big burger van that uses Father's driveway. On one occasion, they packed away, but they left their huge cable because they plug into the church socket. When I went across for Mass, I saw this and I thought, this belongs to the burger van, but I'll do them a kind deed. It's quite a heavy cable. Pulled into the church to keep it safe there. And within the week, they were back for the next match. And I went to them and I said, I've done you a kind deed. I've got your cable. They were very grateful. And then, as a thank you, they said, now you can come and have some burgers.
We're also in an area that those burgers could go into someone's tummy who couldn't afford a burger. So they went there. Our daily mission is, as it comes, out it goes. Together with the prayer, helping those that are broken. But as it comes, it goes. I can tell you that.
When we were successful,
my dad used to send me with my friends on the bus. We used to get four buses and we'd be queuing outside the main stand at about 8:30 in the morning because we couldn't really afford season tickets. So we'd be right at the front of the queue. All we'd have was a radio listening to the football build-up when it came on, and then all the way down Green Street, a queue would develop by about 1 o'clock, and then Dad would arrive just after 1 o'clock, big bag full of salt beef sandwiches, principally for the guy on the turnstiles, because the deal was a couple of salt beef sandwiches, a couple of pickled cucumbers, two seats in row A. Because the poor guy, you know, was on the turnstiles for a good 2 or 3 hours. What he needed to keep him going was a couple of really good salt beef sandwiches.
We're on Queen's Market, 27 minutes past two, and I'm off for the football. Got to change out of this, hang on. Keep my trainers off.
Wait, you
getting
changed for? You're getting changed to go over there?
Yes, mate, I am.
What, are you fast trainers?
Yeah, they are, so I can run away.
So when we go over, we're
going to
have suit and tie when you go
straight.
You don't come dressed up
to
be a green
grocer,
do you,
Mr. Bell? Of course not, you don't. She's like, oh, wait, hang on. I need my ticket, don't I? Down this way, down the end. I'll give you a text here. Yeah, of course. Absolute mayhem coming out of here. Right, we are walking past the ground. Now, everyone's going in, but I've got to go around the back because it's this side here, because they're probably more lower. Everyone stands up, so it's really, really good. Best atmosphere there. On its day, when it's packed out, it's really good, it's quality. And now you've got to queue up and go in. So I've done now, so I'm going here. Nice one. Cheers, mate. See you later.
Iron.
Coming up to the old seat sign, 44 to 87. It's like sort of the gates to hell, where you know that the next 90 minutes are going to be absolutely horrendous.
Number 26, Nikita Jelovic. Number 30, Mikhail Antonio.
We have moved all over France, Italy, Wolverhampton, Hull, Wiltshire. This area has made us rich, very, very rich as people. Rich in that which